We're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to, most of the time tonight, we'll be in what's called the general epistles. So you're going to go back to Hebrews, toward the back of the New Testament, and we'll primarily be in a couple of those books tonight. Hebrews, James, perhaps 1 Peter a little bit, that'll be primarily the books we'll be in tonight. So again, you can be praying there in the spirit of prayer. Maybe as you're praying, the Lord just keeps reminding you, even as you're listening to me and reading the Bible, that you just have a young person on your heart and mind, the Holy Spirit keeps them there. Or a teacher that God just burdens you to pray for them tonight. They need God's grace. They need patience. Maybe Shane, as he opens the Word of God and preaches, that he's got something he's going to preach, but the Holy Spirit sort of takes him and shifts into the gospel or something completely different that the Holy Spirit knows is a need downstairs for our young people. So may we continue to be in that spirit of prayer even tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's good to have you here. It's good to see all of you here tonight. Thank you for coming out. As we are working our way fast through the month of November, all right, and Thanksgiving is a couple weeks away. December will be here. As far as we know, we plan, but we take it one day at a time with the Lord, serving Him each and every day. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, our message tonight, probably be a two-part. No way am I anticipating getting everything in. Not going to try to rush tonight, so it'll probably be a two-part tonight and next Wednesday, Lord willing, on the crown of life. We're going to be looking at the crown of life as we continue our Wednesday night study on rewards. We're looking at rewards for the child of God. We're looking at what the Bible says about crowns for the believer. And we're looking tonight specifically at the crown of life. Hebrews chapter 12. Is everybody there? Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Very familiar verses, but we're going to read three verses here. And then we're going to read one in James and one in Revelation. I want us to put them together and just see the common theme of those verses. All right? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we, children of God, the redeemed, born again, the brethren, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have testified by their faith, let us lay aside every weight. That's not the theme tonight, but a lot right there just to meditate on. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do for the child of God. It's not a sin, perhaps, but it's a weight. Now, certainly, sin is a challenge, and we know that. But the weights sometimes are the hardest. They're not necessarily sinful. It's a weight, but it keeps us from running. It keeps us from being faithful. It keeps us from running properly. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Right? If we say, Lord, give me patience. Lord, I need patience with that person. Now, ever think about, they might be praying for the same thing. You ever think about that? Oh, Lord, I need patience with them. And then maybe they're doing the same thing. Lord, I need, it's the old saying, like, be careful when arguing with a fool that they're not doing the same thing. All right, you've heard that before. All right, you're arguing with, oh, that person's such a fool. And then they're doing the same thing. All right, Lord, give me patience. What are you saying? Lord, I need long suffering. I need to not, well, all right, so let us run with patience. Endurance. Cheerful endurance. We'll talk more about that. The race that is set before us. Looking. Now notice, we're laying aside weights. We're laying aside and removing the sin which does so easily beset us. We're running with patience, but the thought continues, comma, while at the same time we're running, we're looking unto Jesus, the author. The idea there is the beginner, the everything, the whole thing. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We're going to be looking at that word tonight because that's going to play into the crown of life. We hear that word and we probably think of like endure, like, you know, just like, oh, I got to endure the service. I got to endure the class at school. I've got to endure the DMV line. That's usually how we think of it. Oh, I just got to endure. That's not really what this means when we're talking about the crown of life. That's not what Jesus is doing. Oh, I got to endure the cross. Oh, great. That's thrown before me. I just got to endure it. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, consider Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye, Christian, lest ye, runner, lest ye, child of God, be wearied and faint in your minds. That's a lot right there. We're not even really looking at that tonight. Lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Run with patience, cheerful endurance, the race that's been, looking into Christ the entire time and considering Christ the entire time, lest you and I, during the race, during the walk of life, get wearied and faint and want to quit or have a rotten attitude. Uh-oh, wow. There's the admonition for the believer. All right, so take that and let's add it to James 1, verse 12, just two or three pages to your right. James 1, verse 12. And notice in all these passages, there's going to be what sometimes we might call, maybe we'll call an oxymoron, or we'll say it's a paradox. I know those are different. Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about the cross, but then it says Christ had joy. Talk about the shame, and then it's talking about this, or enduring something, but then doing it cheerfully. They don't always seem to go together. Verse 12, blessed, why is it blessed, is the man or the believer, the child of God, that endureth temptation. There it is again. So, is it, oh, I just need to endure and just put up with it? No, that's not what it means. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, who doesn't love him? I mean, if we walked around here with a microphone, every single person in this room, including myself, we'd say, yes, I love the Lord. Say, oh, you love the Lord? Of course I love the Lord. Yeah, of course I love the Lord. Of course I love the Lord. Does that mean we're all getting the crown of life? Is that what it means? Well, there's a little more to that, and we're going to be breaking that down tonight and next Wednesday night. All right, so blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. All right, and then one final passage here. You got to go to that last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, you can hold your spot if you want. Maybe you've already let go of James. We're going to come right back to James tonight. But we'll just read this verse, Revelation chapter 2. And read it in its context so we understand it. We'll read verses 8 to 10. Revelation 2, 8 to 10. So this is the letter to the second church at Smyrna, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I love the parentheses. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Boy, there's a lot in that verse too. How'd you like to be part of the church of Smyrna? You're going to suffer these things. That's in the future. The devil shall cast some of you. That's future. Ye may be tried. Whoa. Oh, I don't know if I'm really looking forward to that. You shall have tribulation, but you be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we have that crown of life mentioned in James 1 and Revelation 2. So what is the crown of life? In the one, it appears to be in Revelation a little bit more. Sometimes people call it the martyr's crown. That looks like it, you know, be faithful unto death. You might even die for the cause of Christ. Be faithful, give thee a crown of life. And then in James, enduring temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, we understand from reading that, I don't believe any of us would say it's every single person who's tried. For when he's tried, he's going to receive it. We understand there's a little bit more than that, because every believer is going to be tried. Every believer is going to be tested. Every believer is going to be tempted. So there's more than just getting tried and tempted. The idea here, again, I believe with every crown, whether they're all actual crowns or whether there's three or five or unnamed, it has to do with faithfulness. Faithfulness in service, faithfulness in spirit, faithfulness in testing, faithfulness to the Lord in every area, I believe. Faithfulness in sharing the gospel. Faithfulness is the key here. So that's what we're looking at. We're speaking on rewards. We're looking at crowns that the Bible talks about. Let us never forget the foundation of the rewards and the crowns, that our God, all through Scripture, is a generous God, a giving God, whether that's giving mercy, plenteous, whether it's grace, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's salvation, whether it's things we don't deserve. We say, well, I don't deserve that. God's been so good to me. He's met my needs, things I don't even, wow. He's a generous, giving God. He promises rewards to his children for faithful service. Faithful service. That's service for him out of love and obedience with a spirit that honors him. So just a couple reminders here. We're talking about faithfulness. All right, and I believe faithfulness, I believe the proper understanding is not just the actual duty, but the service for the Lord from the heart. All right, you see that repeatedly in Scripture, from the heart for the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm giving you verses, maybe you're like, oh yeah. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's a psalm often memorized and read at Thanksgiving. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Romans 12:1. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:2. Rejoicing, patient in tribulation. Wow, there it is again. That verse starts with rejoicing. Then I'm patient in tribulation and I'm continuing. All right? Because trials and tribulations are going to come. We might be rejoicing when there's no trials and testing, but do we continue that during the trials and testing? And then do we continue that keeping our eyes on the Lord, serving with joy? There we go. That's sort of the theme here of what we're looking at. Ephesians 6:7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Of course, Servant's Heart Camp has as their theme verse there in Ephesians 6, doing the will of God from the heart. All right? From the heart. And then Colossians 3:23, I think everybody here could quote it. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. But that heartily, we often today, and I've done it wrong when I was, sometimes we often think of that as do it heartily, you know, with all you've got and with gusto, you know. Well, now, I mean, it certainly has some of that in there, but that's really not the point of the verse. Heartily means doing it from the heart. Yes, we in that verse sometimes used in athletics, and we sometimes, come on, you know, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, Ecclesiastes, and do it with all your heart. Come on, heartily, heartily. All right, and certainly we ought to do that. There's many verses in Scripture. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it for all you have for the glory of the Lord. But the idea here is, if you read the rest of the verses before and after, it is doing it from the heart, for the Lord. Talks about not doing it to be seen of men or to be men pleasers. All right? I mean, I'm doing things, but, you know, who's watching, who sees, who knows? I know I'm supposed to be doing it heartily, from the heart, for the Lord, not unto men. And later on it says, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You serve the Lord. That's who we do it for. And so the idea of service, let's remember how we do that service is just as important sometimes as why we do that service. And then we come to what we would call cheerful endurance. You're in James 1. If you're not there, flip back to James 1. If you didn't hold your spot, turn back a few pages there. So what are we looking at here? Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So we don't want to just pull that verse out only. So we say, well, okay, well, let's make sure we're okay. So what's really the first, well, I mean, all of it, but the first 16 verses are all really one main thought or theme. All right. So how does the book begin? James, verse 1, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. Now he narrows it down. It's not just every tribe or every Jew or just anybody, but verse 2, my brethren, all right, children of God, saved, count it all joy when ye fall into divers, that word divers, there it is again, diverse, different, temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, various types of trials and tests and afflictions and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience, worketh endurance. Okay, so we know they're going to come. The Bible makes it clear. God tests his children. There's going to be trials and afflictions. We live in a sin-cursed world. We should know that, verse 3, and we should stay under it and welcome it and recognize it and endure cheerfully. Why? Verse 4, but let patience, let this test and let the trials have their perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. The idea there is complete, full in Christ, full maturity, wanting nothing. So it's the same theme. Okay, so we're talking about trials and testing. Verse 5, and if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How does God give? He giveth to all men liberally. He's generous. He's not tight. He doesn't frugal. He gives liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now we're still in the same theme. The theme is still testing and trial and temptation. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. That God's exalted him due to humility, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, whom the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Of course, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you can see the theme here, a lot of temptations going on. Now sometimes we know that means temptation to do evil. When it says, God, let no man say when he was tempted, he's tempted of God. God never solicits us to do evil. God certainly tests his children, but not to sin or do evil. The devil will tempt to do evil. And so we have the idea here, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So what are we talking about here? Well, James 1:2 says, count it all joy. Now, we're talking about joy during trials. We're not even talking about joy just in life. So if a person's not joyful in their Christian life, how much joy do you think they're going to have during testing? If they're not joyful in service, you think they're going to be joyful during trials? Probably not. There's plenty of commands about serving the Lord with gladness and having the joy and the fullness of joys in the presence of the Lord. And absolutely, wow. All right. Now, we're talking about count it all joy when you're going through hard times and tribulations and struggles and temptations and trials. Wow, count it all joy. Suffer patiently, persevere joyfully. Absolutely. I mean, in fact, that's one of the main themes of the general epistles. Because by the time many of these were written, the church was going through great trial. The Roman Empire was ramping up the persecution. It was going to be difficult to be a believer openly. It was going to be hard to, what's God doing? Why is this happening? All right, and if you go and you read many of the general epistles, especially the next book, 1 Peter, we'll probably look at that next week. I mean, that's the theme of 1 Peter. Count all the times it says suffer and fiery trials, and if you suffer as a Christian, rejoice. All right, wow, that's challenging. And all the times it talks about suffering well and suffering for the cause of Christ and suffering as a believer and enduring trials and tribulations and afflictions and persecutions. Wow, there's a lot in there, and the Lord wants us to do that. So what are we looking at here tonight? We're not going to get far. The crown of life. The crown of life. Well, the whole theme, again, is being faithful. Faithful in service, faithful in enduring, and being under. That word enduring really is the same word as patience. The idea here is to remain under. To remain under. So that word means to remain under. It means all of a sudden someone's like, okay, I've got this trial. It's over me. Or I've got this affliction, or I'm being persecuted. What's the natural tendency of you and I, or the flesh? We want to get out from under that. We don't want it. Lord, remove it. I don't want it. Take it away from me. But the word endure and patience means no, remain under. I know, but I don't like this. I don't want it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not fun. I would rather you remove this from my life. I want to endure. Now, we're not talking about, again, verse 12. No problem if it means more than just testing. It could very mean everything. It means testings and trials from the Lord. It means afflictions and persecutions perhaps from the world. It means temptations from the devil as he tries us as believers. And it could be all of those. All right, but a lot of the context of 1 to 13, depending on 1 to 12, is dealing with temptations, verse 2, which has the idea of testings and trials. The same as in Genesis 22, where it says God did test or tempt Abram, or Abraham. He wasn't tempting Abraham to sin. He wasn't putting something wicked in front of him that would cause him to sin. He was testing him, testing with his son, testing his loyalty, testing his faithfulness. The Bible says that God is going to test his children. He's going to do it. We know that. What is John 16? In this world, John 16, 33. In this world. Not in the world to come, but in this world, which is sin cursed, which is largely controlled by Satan. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. Ye shall have it. But be of good cheer. Why do they keep saying be of good cheer? Why do I say rejoice? That's not possible. Yes, it is. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, you shall have it. You're going to have it. Now, the question is always, where's it coming from? And that's the key for the believer. And we don't have time tonight to get into that. We have a few moments. The key is this. We have to be sure that we're enduring testing, not something we brought upon ourselves. Because there's no rewards if what we believe we're enduring is not testing. It could be that we're what we think is a test, or it's a trial or affliction. I'm enduring for the Lord. But what if it's his chastening hand? What if we're being chastened to the Lord? What if the believer believes that you're enduring testing when it's chastening, which is the rest of Hebrews 12? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. What if you're being chastened by God, and the things that are happening are God's chastening hand on his child due to sin, due to disobedience, due to rebellion? Are we to glory in that and say, hey, I'm enduring. Ooh, praise the Lord. Well, that's not proper. No rewards for that. That's the chastening hand. What if we're being judged or punishment? And those can be sometimes simultaneously. For instance, I can remember many times over the years of working with young people, and I'm sure it's no different with adults, and Pastor can give you a little bit more, 40 plus years of working with adults, a little more, though he did work with everybody, but I can remember young people coming up, and I need to talk to you, Pastor Lawyer, Mrs. Lawyer, can we get some help from counsel? Sure, what's going on, what are you struggling with? They'd say some stuff, and I'm trying to endure, and I would use different words. All right, I'm going through some. What's going on? Wow, there's kids that are just not being nice to me, and they're being, family or people in the school, or most of the time, as our observation as their youth leaders and a little older and mature, they were not enduring afflictions and trials and testings. They were reaping what they sowed. it was the busybody who gets their nose in every single thing. And nobody likes that. And so then other people aren't, you're busy, you're very nosy. you're not being tested of the Lord. Well, no, I'm enduring and trying. Oh, the kids are testing me and trying me. And so God's, God, that's you're a gossip. You run your mouth constantly. You're not being tested. That's confess that. No, you're lazy. Usually it's character. You're lazy. All right? You're lazy. You're unkind. You're very critical. Your math gets you in trouble. Doesn't make it right for the way that people may respond or other teenagers may not treat you properly, but you're not enduring temptation, James 1:12. You're not like, well, God, I'm just hanging in here as the kids are. You're not suffering for the cause of Christ, 1 Peter. You're not enduring for righteousness' sake. What's happening to you is not because you're taking a stand for the things of God. What's happening to you is God is either chasing you because you're out of God's will, or you're just plain rude, unkind, gossip, slop, I mean, all those kind of things. And they don't always like that, all right? But you got to be careful that we don't label every time we have trials and afflictions as, well, I'm just going to endure. God is testing me. I'm enduring trials. It may very well be. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. But we must be very careful that it's not God's chastening hand. We must be very careful that we're not bringing it upon ourselves because there are weights or sins in our lives. 1 Peter, we'll look at that next week. That really breaks down why we suffer. And it says, if you suffer well, if you suffer for the cause of Christ, if you're suffering and enduring things, and it's happening to you because it's for righteousness' sake, then you ought to rejoice. But if you're suffering for wrong, or you're bringing it upon yourself, there's no reward, there's nothing there for you suffering like I'm enduring the way everybody is to me. No, there's nothing. And God deals with that a lot in the book of 1 Peter. Our God definitely commands us repeatedly. God wants His children to be faithful. Faithful to prayer, faithful to the Word of God, faithful to meditating, faithful to sharing the gospel, faithful in loving one another, forgiving one another, faithful to church. God wants His children to be faithful in every avenue. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that He is going to test and put trials in the life of every one of His children. It's going to happen. We know that. We all know that. It's in the Bible repeatedly. He does that because He loves us. He's not going to let us stay the way we are. He loves us the way we are, but He's not content with leaving us the way we are. The goal is to be like Christ, and so there are going to be trials and testings and things that come into our life to test us, to reveal, not to God, He already knows us, it reveals to us our character flaws. You know, when we start thinking, I'm pretty spiritual, let's see, God brings a few things in, and all of a sudden you show how angry you are, I am, or how bitter we are, how unkind, or how lazy we are. No, we're not as well, you know, now God knows that, but He needs us to understand that. And so He scrapes that dross off as He turns up the heat and the impurities and smooths off the rough edges that are prickly and unkind and hurtful. And He says, I need to smooth that off there. We need to be more like Jesus Christ. All right? You got a flaw in your attitude, flaw in your spirit there. You got some things there. We got to get the chisel out. The shade. We got to smooth that off. We got to be like Christ. So the Lord does test and He does bring things in. Yes, there's just trials and tribulations because we just live in a sin-cursed world. Bad things happen and sinful things happen. And yes, the devil at the same time is tempting us to sin and to do wrong and to walk away from God. He's appealing to our lusts. And so the believer has to stay faithful to God. And the believer has to stay close to God. And the believer has to love God and believe that God loves him and to remain under trials and afflictions if it's from God. There's no joy in remaining under sin. We can get out from that. Resist it. Run. Flee. There's no blessings for remaining under God's chastening hand. Get right with God. Stay out. There's no blessing sin. He's chastening you. There's no blessing for reaping what we're sowing. Because get out. No, but remain under when God is testing. And we're to stay there and we're to endure it cheerfully. Why? Because we know God loves us. And God works all things together for good to them who love Him. And we know that, and so therefore I need to endure it cheerfully and joyfully, reflecting on God. No, He must love me a lot. He loves me so much, He knows that if this stays in my life, it is harmful to me. And it's harmful to the testimony of Christ. And it's harmful to future. And so God loves me so much. Wow. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to rejoice. Oh, God, I'm going to stay under it, though I'm tempted to come out from underneath it. And I want to escape that trial and testing. Blessed is the man, the woman, the child of God, that endureth temptation. Again, temptation to sin, faithful in resisting, faithful in saying no, faithful in not yielding, faithful in fleeing and going to the Word of God, faithful in recognizing that it's not of God. Be faithful in that, absolutely. Faithful in enduring trials and afflictions that come from the Heavenly Father. I mean, I have to love them, but I love you, Lord. I know this is what I need. Faithful in enduring afflictions and persecutions and things from the world, the flesh, and outside sources. I'll finish with this, a quote from a preacher. We'll pick up part two next Wednesday. The child who loves his father and mother and who's sure that his father and mother loves him will be able to get through the period of weaning, and so will start to grow up. The Christian who loves God and who knows that God loves him will not fall apart when God permits trials to come. He is secure in God's love. He is not double-minded, trying to love both God and the things of the world, because that double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Testing will either drive you to the Lord or it will drive you away from him. So when the next, maybe, so when the Lord tests you tonight, tomorrow, and he's testing you to become more like Christ, does that test drive you closer to him, or do usually the testings drive you farther away? Does the test, do you tend to spend more time in the Word, more time in the on your knees, more time in humility, more time searching the heart, more time coming to love God, or does the hard times, are you always trying to get out from underneath it, and it drives you farther from God? Like, you know, it's been a long time since I really read my Bible. It's been a long time. Why? The testing is revealing who you really are. Maybe that you really don't love God, though you might say you do. You might think you do, but because the Bible says, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. We're going to examine that second part next Wednesday night. What does that really mean? Of course I love God. I love God. Who doesn't love God? The Bible talks a lot about it. And we're going to see what God says in 1st, 2nd Peter and 1st John next week. Hey, be careful. Lord, is it chastening? Please show me. Lord, is it the temptation I've been weak on? I've been yielding. Lord, is it trials and afflictions? I'm just asking you to remove them all from my life. Lord, I need to learn. I need to grow. Lord, be careful. May we be willing to obey the Lord no matter what happens. Endure temptations for the cause of Christ. All right.